Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm very excited to share our guest with you today, Lee Lefevre. Lee is the co-founder of Common Craft and author of The Art of Explanation and his newest book, Big Enough. Since 2007, Common Craft has won numerous awards, created explanations for the world's most respected brands, and created explainer videos that have earned over 50 million online video views. Today, Common Craft produces educational guides, ready-made videos, and visuals that are used by educators in over 50 countries. Lee and his wife, Sachi, are Common Craft's only employees. It is my pleasure to welcome Lee to our show today.
Thanks for having me, Belinda.
Yeah, so Lee, this sounds very exciting. Why don't you take us down a little bit of a journey? Tell us about how you got where you are today and give us a few more details about that and what you're really doing today and the impact that you and your wife are making.
Yeah. So I guess our story really starts in around the turn of the century, around the year 2000. I was an online community manager at a company and got really into social media, or what is now social media, and did that job for a few years. And then thanks to my wife, Sachi's encouragement and support, she kept her full-time job while I created Common Craft as a consulting company in 2003. And did that for a few years and really saw that and came to believe that social media was going to be a bigger and bigger deal. And one of the problems about it was that people just lacked a sort of basic understanding of these new tools like wikis and blogs and social networking and things like that. And at the same time, YouTube was starting to be a bigger and bigger deal. And Sachi and I both thought, like, what if we started making videos that explained these new tools in a way that, you know, everyday people could understand? We said that, you know, people like our parents, for instance, could understand a wiki if they watched one of our videos. And we didn't have any experience. We didn't really know what we were doing. But to our surprise, those videos were the sort of 2007 version of viral hits on YouTube. And it kind of changed everything. You know, we were not video producers or educators, but suddenly we were known for being just that. And within a few months, we got hired to make videos for companies. Our second client was Google. If you search for a video called Google Docs in plain English on YouTube, you'll see our second client video ever. And we were very fortunate that it brought a lot of attention to us and a lot of demand for our services. But we took an unconventional path. You know, because we were the first movers, you know, Common Craft at that point became known as the sort of pioneers of the explainer videos. We took an unconventional path that sort of left money on the table and traded that for our own happiness and quality of life. And that decision to be small came down to constraints of not having employees working from home. And that was 2008 when we decided to not have employees, and it's, you know, 2020 now, and we're still operating under those constraints. So the book Big Enough is really about our story of choosing a different path in business we like having income, we like having happy customers, but we also enjoy having a life that supports our values. And that's really the Common Craft story, I think. But in terms of what we're doing today, we're still video producers, and we run a membership service through commoncraft.com, our website, that's mainly used by educators who are often teaching technology. So they become members of our website in order to download or embed our videos for use in education, whether that's via websites or Zoom or presentations or classrooms. So we're still video producers after starting in 2007.
Wow, that is great. And it's amazing that it is still just you and your wife. That's mind-blowing to me, actually.
Some people say that. mainly because of like working with your spouse is part of the big part about that.
Do you know what? That part, I've actually seen lots of people do that successfully. I think that's not as surprising to me, although that is a challenge for a lot of people for sure. Mm-hmm. But gosh, just doing, I know everything, all the moving parts that we even have here. And it's like, when I read that, I was like, surely not really, but that's amazing. Like that's that part's the mind blowing part to me, because I know how much work everything takes and in doing so. Good for you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think that our goal has always been to try to find the most lightweight way that we could design the business, and trying to think about the things that create drag in our business lives and how can we reduce that drag.
And I think that there is, now that I sort of understand this concept of what big enough is, it's like, I think we can get caught up, and some people do, and it's easy to, it's really easy to get caught up in bigger is better. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, exactly. We're this big, let's take it to this next level. Let's take it to this next level. And then every time you take it to that next level, there's more issues that go with that. You know, there's mm-hmm. more moving parts. We'll just say more moving parts, whether that's good, bad or not, it's more moving parts. It usually requires more people to handle the moving parts. And then mm-hmm. consequently, sometimes at the end of the day, and I think this is an entrepreneur's greatest dilemma, including my own sometimes, is you get bigger, but you have more costs. So at the end of the day, when you were smaller, did you make the exact same amount of money? And mm-hmm. a lot of times people don't weigh that out.
It's really true. It's one of the reasons that I wrote Big Enough, is because I think that it's almost an unquestioned idea that the reason you go into business is to get as big and as rich as possible like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's validity to that. My message is not that there's anything wrong with that. My message is that there's actually more choices than appear. If you're willing to think a little bit differently and think about, you know, where your happiness really comes from and how your values connect to your business and how your business could actually support values that maybe you don't see in business magazines or on CNBC. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, are almost like this cultural imperative about business. And one of the ways that I talk about it is, you know, I think a lot about values and how, you know, values influence our actions. And in business, it's easy to sort of outsource your values to what you see in businesses, in, you know, like I said, in magazines and TV and places like that, and assume that the only value that matters is making as much money as possible. And I think that if you really get in touch with sort of where your happiness originates, you might find ways that your business strategy can support other forms of wealth, like a wealth of time or a wealth of independence or a wealth of family or a wealth of community or a wealth of faith or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Your business can support those along with your bank account.
Yeah, that is really super great advice. So let's talk a little bit about how that has shaped your lifestyle, you and your wife's for that matter. Mm-hmm. How's having the business and the business model you've chosen, how's that shaped your lifestyle today?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we lived in Seattle for 20 years. I'm originally from North Carolina, and my wife, Sachi, is originally from Hawaii. So we're kind of out here, you know, 3,000 miles in both directions from our families, which is part of our lifestyle. But, you know, one of the things that we talked about early on with Common Craft was that being a couple that works from home and literally spends 24/7 together, that if we're not careful about our business and the opportunities that we pursue, then there's a chance that the business could end up being harmful to our relationship. And then what's it all for, right? So that was part of our decision early on, was to see that lifestyle and quality of life were important to us and things we needed to protect. And so we've always had that sort of orientation, and most lately that sort of manifests in a decision to move out of the city. And this was before COVID, to a place called Orcas Island, which is off the coast of Washington State. And so we've gone from urban living to a much more rural setting that's much slower and simpler. And it's been a big change, and I think a positive change to our lifestyle right now.
Very good. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about skill sets. So what do you think you have identified as kind of your superpower that has really helped you in really working your business and developing your business today?
Yeah, I think it's communication. I say communication and optimism. I think on the communication side, I've always been someone who was critical of communication and always asked the question, like, of all the words out there, you chose those words? Like, couldn't you have chosen words that were more understandable? And I think I'm just very sensitive to communication and what it takes to make something understandable. So that's really the core of our business, is making videos that do that. So I can't help but say that that's a big part of it. And I think that, you know, for any entrepreneur, I think optimism is important, because as you probably, you and your listeners know well, you know, I say sometimes that most of the things I do are failures. They don't work, at least to the extent that I want. And to be successful, you have to have this well of optimism that means that you can accept that, but also keep pushing, keep going to the next idea with the hope that the next one's going to work. Mm-hmm. And that's been a source for both of us, I think.
That is great. And those are, I think a lot of people, what you've done is you've taken your skill sets, which, believe it or not, in the 270 interviews that I've done, I don't hear this that often, on where people really take their skill sets and then develop that into more of the business model that they're doing versus here's this business and I found out I'm good at this. I don't know. It's interesting. It's kind of like the sort of the polar opposite. You found a really great skill set and then made a business out of it, which, believe it or not, is different than most paths that people talk about and see.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it goes back to when I was first working on online communities and I was first blogging. And I was a blogger starting in 2003. And that was the first time I realized that when I would write blog posts that were meant to explain technology, I would just be filled with this confidence and filled with this like feeling that this was like my happy place, to use the name of your podcast here. But that was really my happy place. And I was fortunate, I think, to realize that was where this feeling was coming from. And, you know, like I said, we never expected the videos to do anything. They were not part of a business model. A business model just came from this desire to solve a problem with communication.
Very good. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishments, and then we're going to talk about challenges. So what do you identify as like one of the most outstanding accomplishments that you guys have accomplished?
Well, I think writing two books has been something that I'm very proud of on the business side. I think that, you know, our videos are used in classrooms around the world, and they are mainly focus on responsible, productive, and safe use of computers and the internet. And I like to think that that's a positive contribution, you know, that that has actual value. One of the things that I tell entrepreneurs is that there's a number of ways that you can earn a living on the web that, you know, yes, you can make money, but I always ask the question, are you actually producing value? Are there things that you're doing that actually deserve to be paid for? And that's something that I'm really proud of, I think, and Alyssa's an accomplishment, is that I think that we've been able to use our skills to make real value that people are happy to pay for.
That's great. And that is something, the two books for sure is a great accomplishment, but the fact that your videos are being used, you know, all over the world is amazing. So that is absolutely a great accomplishment. Let's talk about challenge. What were some of your challenges or your biggest challenge they faced along the way? And then how did you solve that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Gosh, there's been a number of challenges. I think that, you know, it was a good problem to have, but, you know, we in the early days of Common Craft had an opportunity to grow. We had an opportunity to hire people. We had an opportunity to become a creative agency, and our business model would be based around being hired to make videos. But we asked a question at that time that has become a big part of our perspective. And the question is, what if it works? Like, what if this idea works? What does my life look like in 5 or 10 years or even a year, if this idea actually works and it becomes the center of my life. And when we were burned out and making really good money being hired to make videos, we asked, what if it works? If we could make a lot more money if it works, but it could also have a negative impact on our relationship and our lives. And so we made a choice to put that money and opportunity aside and focus on licensing our videos, the videos that we owned and made and were not hired to make. And that meant cutting our income, you know, over 50% to do that. But we both believed that over time, over the years, we could build up enough of our own content to support the business and ourselves, and live the life that we thought that would be the most healthy and productive for us. And so it was a challenge to get through those years, knowing that we could be doing something else, but staying focused on on our quality of life versus just being as big as we could.
Very good. So, which brings us to, and you mentioned it, but it's kind of the sort of cornerstone of the show, but what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Well, for me, it does mean being at home. I think home is really important. I think a lot of people, probably listeners out there, are probably thinking a little bit differently about home, having spent a lot more time there recently because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I really like being at home. Sachi, my wife Sachi and I, we get along really well, and we have two dogs, and I like being at home with we call ourselves our pack, and we love making food. Living on the island, we've started to catch crab. We're crabbers. We catch Dungeness crab where we live, and that's been a hobby for us lately. And you know, we just feel like that we're settling into a simpler, more sustainable life. That is, being more self-sufficient is something that I get happiness from. Okay. And so that's part of my happy place, I guess.
That is great. I really like being at home too. But I've worked at home, 30 plus years. So when you've done it a very long time, it just becomes I like being here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The whole pandemic thing, there were other parts of it certainly that was a struggle because I did go out and do a lot of speaking, but being in my space working, and I work a lot with my husband as well, and mm-hmm. we work very well together. It just was not a challenge. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't mm-hmm. suddenly a new thing that I felt like I got to get out of here. It just was really comfortable. And I think it's learning to make the most. It's learning to enjoy your time where you're at. I think when people feel like I got to get out of here, is they're not really enjoying their time or how they're spending that time. Mm-hmm. A lot of time.
Yeah, it's really true. I kind of joked when we went into quarantine that it turned out that we had been socially distancing for over a decade. You know, it didn't really impact us that much. And, you know, Sachi's a bit of an introvert too. So she takes a little bit of she gets value from being able to not have so much going on socially.
Good. So what advice would you give to others who are wanting to go down this entrepreneurial path? That are seeing this and saying, I want to work from home, or I want to have my own business. I want to have that freedom. What advice would you give to them?
I think one of the more practical things is to start thinking about the people that you're hoping to reach with your business and thinking of them as an audience or a market and how you can create some kind of connection with them. And so for us, that started with blogging. Today, that's our email lists. We use our websites to offer something for free that people can download in exchange for becoming a member of our newsletters. And I think that whether your business is going or not, that starting that process of building an audience and building a market is something that you can do right now. It's not expensive, and it always takes time. It's never super fast, but that's something that can pay returns in the future. And the second thing I would say is to think about your happiness and your satisfaction and what really gives you that satisfaction in life and how it relates to your values and then how that can inform your business strategy. And if you ask, what if this idea works? And then think about those values, then you might find that some opportunities might be a mirage and others might be something that you might not realize right off the bat, but then you start to discover that actually this is the opportunity that's best for me.
Great. So what, tell us a little bit more about your book. Tell us about some other new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners could benefit from.
Yeah, sure. So Big Enough is, it's a short book. That's one of the things I'll say. it's only about 150 pages. If you write a book called Big Enough, it's got to be succinct, right? but it's really, it reads like a story, right? It's not a business book with a nice acronym for the model to follow. It's really a story that I think has the message that it's possible to reevaluate what success means to you and find be able to find happiness in that. So it has our story, but it also has research on happiness. And it has, you know, we tried multiple business models through the over the past decade or 12 years or so. And it's a look at what's possible today for two people working from home to accomplish with the power of technology and the internet. So I think it's inspiring. I'm hearing, you know, it's been out since September 15th, and I've heard a lot of positive feedback that people say things like, man, I needed to hear that. I needed to feel like that I wasn't alone feeling that this is the right thing for me. And so I hope that resonates with your listeners. The book website is at bigenough.life is where you can find the book. And so I'd love for people to reach it. You know, I do some other things that I'm excited about. I have a newsletter called Ready for Rain that's available from LelaFever.com that is not a traditional news. Well, I guess it is kind of traditional, but it's really story. I write essays. I tell stories from my personal life. And this is not something I usually talk about on podcasts, but right. About almost every week I publish a story that's about living where we live and kind of doing running the business and publishing books and things like that. So that's one of the things I'll mention.
And that is Ready for Rain?
It's called Ready for Rain, but if you can find it at LelaFever.com/newsletter.
Okay. Awesome. That is awesome. I think it's fun to read stories and be inspired. It's one of the reasons I love doing this podcast is even for me, it's uplifting for me to continue moving forward and being my best person as I get inspired by listening to other people's stories and hearing what their struggle has been. I think when you're in it and you're in, you know, it's that old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. When you're in your business deep and you're the feelings you're having, you feel very isolated or very alone or you can't see your way out of it. And being inspired by other individuals that have either been down a similar journey, had some of the same similar situations, ran across the same obstacles, came out on the other end, that's where real life starts to happen. So I love when people share real stories.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that in the sort of stories that I like to tell in the newsletter, which I think is good for all stories, is it? I talk about failures and I talk about, you know, I like to think I'm vulnerable, you know, that I'm not trying to tell everyone how great everything is. I talk about being an idiot sometimes and, you know, emotional things that happen between me and Sachi and just real life kinds of things.
That's awesome. Well, that is great. Lee, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your insights today. And I know I'm going to go grab this book because it sounds like it's something that a lot of people can truly benefit from. And I think a lot of people are reevaluating exactly where they're at and what they want to keep chasing and what is bringing them true happiness. That's something that I think this last year, if it's done anything else, has caused people to really sort of reevaluate how they've been spending their time.
Yeah, I think that's true. The book was written before the pandemic, and I was concerned that the pandemic would change things in the wrong direction. But I think that it's actually helped the message of the books, which I'm very thankful for. It's one silver lining in an otherwise dark area with the pandemic.
Yes, for sure. Well, thank you again so much. And Lee, just tell our listeners again where they can find you and how is the best way to connect.
Yep. So I'm one of the people who doesn't have any competition for my name on in social media. So you can find me at Leela Fever on Instagram and Twitter. And LeelaFever.com is the home of my writing. And my business is CommonCraft.com. And as I said before, the new book, Big Enough, is at BigEnough.life.
Very good. So to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in today. If you don't want to miss a single one of our very inspirational podcast shows, then please subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place. And you know what? We love ratings more than anything. If you and reviews, if you enjoyed today's show, please leave us a rating, a review. We appreciate that so much. And once again, Lee, thanks for being a guest on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for having me, Belinda. It's been great.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.